You're listening to another football episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns with your guy, Bully Rye.
That's right, everybody. It's your guy, Bully Rye, for a football episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns. Once again, if you paid attention to Twitter, no wrestling episode this week. Between me being a little under the weather this week and PJ has just been busy on his on Guardians Warlocks farewell tour. I got the opportunity to see him a week ago today, if you're listening to this on Thursday. So what a fun time that was. Pretty emotional time for him, I'm sure. But we have vowed to record our review of WWE's Crown Jewel pay-per-view. And then this coming weekend, you've got AEW's Full Gear pay-per-view. So we'll have that to review for you in the very near future. But as far as today goes, we're talking football again, man. And again, I apologize for being a little under the weather. But as they say, the show must go on. Let's start off with the pregame warm-up and talk about fifth in the West, and they are your SEC West champions, are the LSU Tigers. Speaking of LSU, the team that they essentially beat to propel them into that spot was Alabama. Alabama gets a challenge against Ole Miss, survives Ole Miss 30-24. Probably my biggest loss of the weekend. I had Tulane getting this win over UCF. They did not. UCF overtakes the number one spot in the AAC, beating Tulane 38-31. NC State, I mentioned it a few weeks ago. You've got missing starting quarterback, but they've still been able to sort of put together some wins. They could not win this past week. Boston College upsets NC State 21-20. And another game that I really thought that Oregon was going to take. I thought Oregon was going to try to make that stride towards erasing the embarrassing loss at the beginning of the season and make the college football playoff. They could not beat Washington. Washington upsets Oregon 37-34. Listen, TCU might be the real deal. They get a huge win over Texas. It's only 17-10, but big considering that they remain undefeated and in the driver's seat to sort of create their own destiny at the college football playoff. So good win for TCU. UCLA was doing really well, looking like they might have been back. Upset last weekend by Arizona 34-28, and a wild game in the ACC. North Carolina survives Wake Forest 36-34, and they win the ACC Coastal. Now, I think Clemson beat Louisville last week, so your SEC championship game and your ACC championship games are set. We get North Carolina taking on Clemson in the ACC championship and LSU taking on Georgia for the SEC with 2 weeks left to play in the regular season of college football. Yeah, you heard right. 2 weeks left of the regular season in college football. Got a little more in the NFL. Continuing with the pregame warm-up, let's look at some games last week. The Panthers, who were beat by the Falcons off of some unfortunate events, get their win back over Atlanta on Thursday Night Football last week. They get the win 25-15, sporting some all-black unis that are pretty sweet. Talking about pretty sweet, the Lions win their second straight divisional game, beat the Chicago Bears 31-30. Man, if you watch that game, Justin Fields, listen, he looks like a Lamar Jackson with not such of a great arm, and that's not really saying much. But Justin Fields has come along here, but he didn't give the Bears enough. 31-30, the Lions get the win. I believe the Bears missed an extra point that would prevent them from having that tie score at the end of regulation. And what could possibly be called the game of the year with the catch of the year? The Minnesota Vikings upset the Buffalo Bills in overtime, 33-30. Man, listen, if you're listening to the show, you probably watched the game, or at least you've seen the highlights. Minnesota on 4th and 18 throws a bomb to Justin Jefferson. One hand catches it while a defender had two hands on the ball, and he came down with the catch. Minnesota, however, would stall out at the goal line, And on the first play for the Bills to try to run out the clock, they fumble the snap. Minnesota hops on it for the touchdown. Buffalo would kick a field goal to go into overtime, but they could not out-duel the fighting Kirk Cousins. The Minnesota Vikings win what might be the game of the year in the NFL to this point. Jeff Saturday, again, if you've been living under a rock, was named interim head coach for the Indianapolis Colts. A lot of people are very, very unhappy with this decision. He is 1-0 as a head coach in the NFL. Beats Vegas 25-20. I don't remember the last time outside of Urban Meyer that we've seen a second attempt at a head coach get fired in after one season. But Josh McDaniels is heading that direction. Now, I know they've sort of Mark Davis has sort of already instilled his vote of confidence. But the Raiders are just not good. Towards the end of this season of the podcast, I'm going to go where Bully was right and Bully was wrong. Bully was wrong about the Raiders being decent, at least in the NFL this year. Just unfortunate for them because they're more than likely going to be in rebuild with Derek Carr gone after this season. Next up, I hate to say it, Dallas Cowboys, who were, I believe, a 7-point favorite, can't beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. The Packers knock off the Cowboys, another overtime game, 31-28. People think the Packers are back. Christian Watson, speedy receiver for the Packers, had 3 touchdowns in this game, but came up with an injury, at least on the injury report this week. But nevertheless, a very good showing for the Packers. And then finally, the Eagles are undefeated no more. Beat on Monday Night Football by, of all teams, the tumultuous off-the-field situations aside, the Washington Commanders in the undefeated season of the Eagles, 32-21. Just this has had an interesting ending too. They get a personal foul, unnecessary roughness on what would have been a third down play that sort of would have given the Eagles the ball back. Instead, the Commanders get a first down, would run the clock down to like 6 seconds, and just really, really unfortunate. But the Miami Dolphins, of I believe 79 or something like that, remain the only undefeated team in the history of the NFL. So that's it, guys. That's your best games of the week. Coming up next, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to get into the first half of the show. Bullies buys and sells, another rough week. 0-4 in Bullies buys, 3-5 on the week. We're going to try to right the ship. Stay tuned. We'll be right back right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.
Established in 2008, One Stop Repairs in North Charleston, South Carolina is your one-stop shop for all your electronic repair needs. Specializing in cell phones, tablets, computers, laptops, and game consoles, One Stop Repairs offers reputable and quality service with the quickest turnaround time and most competitive prices in the Lowcountry. You can find them on Google with an exceptional 4.9-star rating, or on Facebook, or by searching One Stop Repairs. That's the number one, One Stop Repairs. Call today for a quote at 843-343-6310. That's the number one, One Stop Repairs.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show and the first half, where we're going to go Bullies buys and sells in fantasy football. Again, 3-5 last week, not a very good showing. It's been a rough go at it the last few weeks. That 3-5 on the week puts me at 44-36 on the season. So still above 500, but not where I'd like to be. So let's just get right into it, and let's run through these here. Bullies buys for week 11 in the NFL season. Starting at quarterback, New York Giants quarterback Daniel Jones has sort of a high projection at 19.9. So hear me out here. He's averaging under 200 passing yards a game. However, he's got 8 touchdowns to 2 interceptions and actually 2 fumbles on the season. So 8 touchdowns to 4 turnovers. Listen, his ability to run and scramble has been is crucial to his success. They did trade away Kadarius Toney to the Kansas City Chiefs a few weeks ago. And I don't know if Babytron Kenny Galladay is ever going to suit up in an NFL uniform again. But between Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones able to make things happen, take into consideration the Lions are giving up the most points to opposing quarterbacks this season. You probably got somebody else to start. You're probably not rolling with Daniel Jones. A 20-point projection is high for a guy like Daniel Jones. I don't think he's hit that projection much this season, but I like him going into this week. That's why I'm buying in on Daniel Jones for Week 11. Running back buy for Week 11 goes to Washington Commanders running back Antonio Gibson, projected 11.2 points. Now, if J.D. McKissic returns to the lineup this week, this is automatic loss for me. He's hit this projection three of the last four games this season, and Houston is giving up the most points to opposing running backs. Now, Brian Robinson does throw a wrench into this, plan and this hope. But Gibson's catching ability, remember, he was a converted wide receiver out of college. His receiving ability is why I love him this week. Give me Antonio Gibson. I'm actually starting him in my main league. Matter of fact, that league, I was undefeated, and I have now lost three straight. I am 7-3. I've dropped all the way to third place, so I'm hoping Antonio Gibson puts me up some numbers this week. Buying Antonio Gibson. At wide receiver, Carolina Panthers wide receiver DJ Moore winds up on the Bullies buys this week, projected 13 points. My concern is that Baker Mayfield is back at the helm this week. P.J. Walker has a high ankle sprain, which means that Baker Mayfield takes back over. But D.J. Moore has hit this projection only three times this season. But the Ravens are allowing the sixth most points to our wide receivers. You also got to take into consideration, D.J. Moore is getting at least roughly six targets per game. The volume is there for him, especially in a game where the Ravens are giving up a lot of passing yards, at least a lot of yards and a lot of points to receivers. Maybe he finds the end zone this week. I like DJ Moore. That's why I'm buying on him for Week 11. Last but not least, I think he wound up on the buy list earlier this season. He may have even wound up on the sells list. Dallas Cowboys tight end Dalton Schultz projected 11.4 points. He looked healthy last week. And he plays better when Dak is under center. The Vikings are coming off a big win against the Bills last week, but they're giving up the 10th most points to opposing tight ends. I really love Schultz here, and I love him going forward. Like, you got to think, if you've been sitting on Darren Waller, if you had Dallas Goedert, Dalton Schultz may be available in your league. Zach Ertz went on IR this week as well. So you may be looking for a tight end. And if he's available, Dalton Schultz is a great replacement in your lineup. And not just this week, but going forward. So let's recap Bullies buys from quarterback to tight end: Daniel Jones, Antonio Gibson, DJ Moore, and Dalton Schultz. Let's get into the second quarter, shall we? Bullies sells. This is where I excelled last week. So let's see if I can do it again. Quarterback, again, you're probably not starting this guy unless you are extremely desperate, but I'm selling Marcus Mariota of the Atlanta Falcons this week, projected 20 points. Listen, he's only scored 20 points three times this season. The Bears are giving up, the Bears are 12th against opposing quarterbacks, so the 12th fewest points allowed, including holding my bye quarterback, Daniel Jones, to just 71 passing yards in week four. Mariota's on the verge of getting benched for rookie Desmond Ridder. There's a lot of clamoring after that loss on Thursday Night Football. And listen, let's be honest. Atlanta's just not that good. They get Cordarrelle Patterson back a couple weeks ago. He seems to be back in form. But the rest of this Falcons team is just not good. I know they've got like four or five wins on the season so far. Don't pay attention to that. The Falcons are bad. And I'm not, again, you're not starting Mariota more than likely if you had him. But if you're being forced to, you may need to look elsewhere because I'm selling Marcus Mariota this week. The running back kind of hurts, but it makes sense. Detroit Lions running back DeAndre Swift winds up on the sells list this week, projected 11.8 points. I don't understand why the Lions aren't just sitting DeAndre Swift at this point. he was hurt. He had an ankle and a shoulder injury this season. Missed a couple of games. But they keep bringing him in for, like, light work in these games. Just sit him down for a few weeks. Let him get healthy. Last week, he would have only had 2 fantasy points without his touchdown where he got into the end zone from, like, a 4-yard run or something like that. Combine that with the Giants allowing the 5th fewest points to running backs. Listen, I'm being forced to start Jamal Williams in one of my leagues because they got a bunch of people on buys. But I don't like either of the Lions running backs, specifically DeAndre Swift. At wide receiver, a name that I don't think I've put on either one of the lists this season, it might not be come to, as a surprise to anybody, and that's Indianapolis Colts wide receiver Michael Pittman Jr., projected 13.8 points. Again, Jeff Saturday named the interim head coach, reinstated Matt Ryan as a starting quarterback last week, but Michael Pittman hasn't hit his current projection since week 6. The Colts get an Eagles team angry after their first loss of the season, allowing the 10th fewest points to wide receivers. Listen, I don't like Michael Pittman. I don't like Paris Campbell. The team is better with Matt Ryan at quarterback. Jonathan Taylor had a resurging week last week after dealing with some injuries this season. If anything, I think this is going to be a big Jonathan Taylor day. I'm selling Michael Pittman. Next up, I don't think this guy plays, so it's sort of an easy out here. But for whatever reason, he had a decently high projection for tight end. Cleveland Browns tight end David Njoku is currently projected 10.6 points. He hurt his ankle in week 7 and is still questionable this week. I'm recording this on 11/16, so Wednesday the 16th. He was still listed as questionable today. The Bills who play Cleveland this week are allowing the 9th fewest points to opposing tight ends. Again, similar to Marcus Mariota, you probably weren't starting Njoku this week, and with good reason. If he plays, don't expect much from David Njoku. So let's recap the second quarter and bully sells for week 11 from quarterback to tight end. Marcus Mariota, DeAndre Swift, Michael Pittman Jr., and David Njoku. A little movement in the podcast pick'ems on ESPN.com. We're going to take our last break. We come back the second half of the show where we're going to get in Frick's Picks games of the week for the upcoming weeks, week 12 in college football, week 10 in the NFL. If I've got that right, of course, now it's week 11 in the NFL. I knew that. There's only a week behind. Week 12 of college football, week 11 of the NFL. We're going to pick some games against the spread because I had an average week last week. Great in college, terrible in NFL. Stay tuned. After the break, we're going to get into it right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns. That's right, everybody. Welcome to the second half of the show. If it was a wrestling show, we would call it the main event because we're going to get into Frick's Picks, games of the week. And without further ado, let's get right into the third quarter and the recap from last week's action. 3-1 did your guy Bully Rye go in college football, but 1-3 in the NFL. Gives me a 500 record for the week. Brings my overall season record of picking against the spread 38-39-3 on the season. Remember, you can go to ESPN.com, go to fantasy games, find college pick'em and NFL pigskin pick'em. You can still pick against us. We don't have much time left, specifically in college. Well, let's get into the college pick'em standing, shall we? One person moved in the standings this week. Tied now for first place is Volley Polly of Polly's Pick'ems podcast. Try to say that 5 times fast. Remember to go and like and subscribe and listen to him if you want to hear him talk about football every week. Volley Polly is now tied with Jason Buck, the elusive ESPN entry with all the numbers. They both sit at 64-45, followed by Jason's brother Buck, 61-48 in third place. No movement in third or fourth place, where your guy, Bully Rye, sits at 59-50. And Potsy, who hasn't made picks in a few weeks, still 43-33. Going over to the NFL podcast, NFL Pigskin Pick'ems, a couple of movement here. Your guy, Bully Rye, has got a 4-game lead, 90-56 on the season. Greek comes from being tied for first now, sits alone at number 2, 86-61. Volley Polly, 81-68 at third place. Buck jumps up from fifth to fourth, 75-70 on the season, while Sam drops to 73-60 in fifth place in the standings. Remember, go on, play against us. Winner gets a podcast t-shirt as well as a chance to host a segment on the show. So really excited. We're getting, like I said, to the nitty-gritty here. Good stuff coming. Let's move right along here. Frick's picks for week 12 in college football here in the second half of the show. Listen, I went through some of the games. The best games on this slate this weekend come like after 8 o'clock. So let's get into it. The first game I decided to pick against, a noon kickoff in the SEC, Florida at Vanderbilt, where Florida is giving up 14 points. I mentioned earlier in the show, Vanderbilt broke a 26-game SEC losing streak by beating Kentucky last week. That same Kentucky team beat this Florida team earlier this season in the Swamp. Florida coming again off a big – I say a big win. By big, I mean the point differential was big against my Gamecocks, unfortunately. But 14 is a big spread on the road. I think we were only like a 7-point dog against Florida last week. 14 is a lot, especially because Vanderbilt seems to be playing a lot better as the season wraps up. Give me Vanderbilt to make more of the game out of this than it should be, and they're going to cover this 14-point spread this week. Next up, a 3:30 kickoff out of the Big 12. Two surprising teams this year. Texas at Kansas. Texas a 9-point favorite. Two 6-4 Big 12 teams face off. Texas looked to be poised for a big season after a simple 1-point loss to Alabama. Their starting quarterback would go hurt. They would lose three more games as the season went along, including to a top four TCU team this past week. And not to mention, Texas has lost to good teams. It's not like they've lost to like really bad teams, right? Kansas is probably having their best season in decades, sitting at 6-4. Honestly, that right there is why I like Kansas to at least cover this 9. Both of these teams are going bowling. I think this might be Kansas' first bowl game in like 20 years. I have no idea if that's accurate, but it just feels that way because Kansas was losing to like FCS schools a few years ago. But nevertheless, I like Kansas to cover this 9-point spread. It's Kansas at home. 9 points is a good, is a sizable spread for a road team. I'm taking Kansas here. Next up, two Big 12 ranked matchups. Let's start off at the 8 o'clock kickoff game. Number 7, Southern Cal, and number 16, UCLA, where Southern Cal is a 2-point favorite. Again, already mentioned this in the show. Earlier today. UCLA coming off a tough loss to Arizona last week. Meanwhile, Southern Cal's only loss was by 1 point to Utah that had to go for 2 to steal that victory. Listen, Southern Cal needs to make a statement if they want a shot at the college football playoff to represent the Pac-12, because I don't remember the last time a Pac-12 team was in the college football playoff. And I think they're gonna make this final push here, and they're gonna get a statement win. It's gonna be more than 2 points. Give me Southern Cal here to take care of UCLA. Last but not least, a 10:30 kickoff on the East Coast. You know, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and I told him I would love just to have one Saturday to live on the West Coast to watch football, because I'd wake up at 9 o'clock in the morning, watch football. And I wouldn't go, and then by the time the 10:30 kickoff, that's 7:30, I'd be in bed by 10. That's a full day of football. So maybe one of these days I'll make it happen. Nevertheless, 10:30 kickoff, number 10 Utah at number 12 Oregon. Oregon, a 3-point favorite somehow, saw its playoff dreams completely disappear, dropping their game to Washington. Meanwhile, Utah only has 1 conference loss to a ranked UCLA team that I just mentioned. But that inexplicable loss to Florida to start the season sort of kind of damned them for playoff irrelevancy. Listen, I think Oregon, knowing that they just let a beautiful opportunity slip right out of their hands, I think they come into this one inspired and come out swinging. Take this game at home by a touchdown or more. Give me the Ducks over Utah. Let's get into the fourth quarter, shall we? I think I'm making pretty decent time here, which is good because your boy is suffering. I think it started last night, but it's happening now. Starting to get that congestion in. So let's get this show on the road, as they say. NFL Fricks Picks, NFL Week 11. Let's start off 1 o'clock kickoff. LA Rams at New Orleans Saints. The Saints are a 4-point favorite in this game. If you had told me preseason that the Saints would be favored over the defending Super Bowl champion Rams, I probably would have called you, like, I probably would have called a doctor. Like, I would have called, like, someone to come put you in a straitjacket. Like, there's no way. The Saints are going to be awful. The Rams are going to be phenomenal again. Whatever. Unfortunately, the Rams' O-line has been just decimated by injuries. They are in shambles. Now their best player on that offense in Cooper Kupp is on IR after an ankle injury, which breaks my heart, because that team that I told you I was undefeated and have dropped three straight, Cooper Kupp was one of the reasons why I got off to such a hot start. Now on IR, I don't care about the woes for the Saints. People are questioning whether or not Jameis Winston should come back in at quarterback instead of Andy Dalton. It doesn't matter. Give me the Saints with the points. That's a 4-point spread. The Rams are in shambles. Not to mention, I mentioned it on the show before, traveling from the West Coast to the East Coast, and I say to the East Coast, the Central time zone, for a 1 o'clock kickoff. Give me the Saints all the way here. Next up, another 1 o'clock kickoff. Two teams that I've talked about earlier in the show, the Chicago Bears at the Atlanta Falcons, where the Falcons are a 3-point favorite. Now, the Bears lost a heartbreaker to the Lions last week, while the Panthers got their revenge on the Falcons as the Falcons take the loss last week. Listen, as fans clamor for the rookie quarterback in Atlanta, Justin Houston's finally looking like that explosive playmaker Chicago drafted him to be. I don't know how the Falcons got a favored, I don't know how they got favored in this game, other than the fact that they're at home. Chicago wins. Chicago wins this game outright. Give me Chicago with the points. They're going to win this game outright in Atlanta. Next up, a 4:25 kickoff. A couple of teams that surprised everybody last week, one for their loss and one for their win. The Dallas Cowboys at the Minnesota Vikings. Dallas, a 1-point road favorite. Again, a 4:25 kickoff. I told you, and I keep telling you, every time I get the opportunity to say it, I'm going to do it. The Dallas Cowboys lost to an awful Packers team last week. Meanwhile, Minnesota had, again, game of the year. Everything had to fall their way, and it did, and they get that win over the Bills. I just think the Vikings are better. When, again, going back to where Bully was right and Bully was wrong this season, I had the Vikings as a really, really good team. Give me the Vikings to win this game outright. I think their defense is going to get a lot of pressure on Dak, and the offense is going to eat that Cowboys defense alive with Justin Jefferson. Give me the Vikings to win. So take them. They're a 1-point dog. It's basically a pick 'em game. Take the Vikings. Last but not least, Sunday Night Football, Kansas City Chiefs at the LA Chargers, where Kansas City is a 5.5-point favorite. I talked about how bad the Rams are beat up. The other LA team has been really beat up this season too. Justin Herbert had a back injury earlier in the season. They're trying to get healthy. There was rumors that Keenan Allen and Mike Williams would both practice this week. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are just getting better and better every week. They've got a lot of speed at receiver, considering that they lost Tyreek Hill in the offseason. I'm making this pick based on the idea that the Chargers will be without both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams again. Give me Kansas City with the points. I mean, listen, again, disappointing because Justin Herbert is my fantasy quarterback in the same league that I keep mentioning. And without his weapons, he has just been not great. So give me Kansas City with the points here. Folks, that has been the football episode this week. Like I said, stay tuned next week. We're going to have the Crown Jewel review with PJ and myself. More football talk, and then we'll be talking full gear from AEW here in the very near future. And we are coming right up to Survivor Series War Games in WWE. I am so stoked that they have tied in War Games with Survivor Series. So exciting. So we're going to probably do a review of some classic War Games on the show coming up in the next few weeks. So stay tuned for all that. Hopefully you've enjoyed this week's show, where I got to try to give you some of my best fantasy football advice imaginable. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Tap Outs and Touchdowns. It's your guy, Bully Rye, and I'll be around.